يا أيها المرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد. One of the lines of the dua that we just read, dua Kumail, is اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء, along with other lines before and after. We're basically asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. اللهم اغفر لي. The concept of istighfar, asking for, as we call it, asking for forgiveness, is a very important part of our teachings. It's a very important of our daily activity. It's a very important part of not a daily activity that is done only once. If you look at the ta'qibat and the mustahabbat of our prayers, the different ones, for example, 70 times in Salatul Witr, we are told to say Astaghfirullah, Rabbi wa atubu ilayh, or wa atubu ilayh. There's istighfar 70 times there. There is istighfar in the specific ta'qib of the Asr prayer, and we are told that it's actually very recommended between the Asr prayer and sunset or Maghrib to repeat istighfar. If you compare the two, Salatul Witr is supposed to be done shortly before Fajr, when it's still pitch black. And then if you look at this recommendation, you're told, or we are told, to repeat istighfar before sunset. And then during the night we have the repetition. Different days we have that. There's a lot of repetition when it comes to the concept of istighfar. Certain months of the year, like the month of Rajab, which is approaching, one of the major a'mal for us to do is istighfar. Asking, we call it asking for forgiveness. And there's a reason why I say we call it that, because it's more than that. It's more than that. In Dua Kumail, obviously from the beginning to the end, there are multiple references to this idea. Besides those lines towards the beginning, that اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام, you say اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب. Okay, so استغفار again, a few times there. There's throughout the dua different ways, different wordings, different phrases that are used. وَغْفِرْ زَلَّتِي, towards the end of it. From the beginning of the dua, towards the end, or all the way to the end, you have istighfar. This itself is a very important point. Before I get to the specific line that we have there, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء, istighfar is important, brothers and sisters. Acknowledging all that repetition, why? Acknowledging fault, admitting to fault, admitting to shortcoming, recognizing, realizing that we have problems. And realizing that the only one that can fix these problems is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's basically what istighfar means. The moment we forget about our flaws, our problems, our shortcomings, the least is we will stop making progress. The progress is by overcoming those shortcomings, getting rid of those problems. That's progress. Developing more problems, of course, you can't really stagnate in this world. You're either moving up or you're moving down. But the least is, if we forget about our flaws, if we don't acknowledge them, if we don't realize that we have these problems, we're just not going to make progress. And if we acknowledge them and realize them, but don't realize that the only one that can fix these problems is Allah. Allah can give me the tawfiq to stop being angry when I'm not supposed to. To stop saying things that I'm not supposed to. Seeing things that I'm not supposed to. Doing things that I'm not supposed to. Thinking things that I'm not supposed to. If we don't realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one, we can keep trying to get rid of that problem, but we're never going to actually be able to overcome that. We can try it, we can keep trying, but there's got to be a moment of realization that I have the problem and Allah is the only one that can solve that problem. That's what istighfar. The more then we realize problems and the more we realize we are helpless and Allah is the one that can help us, the more progress we're going to be able to make. Recite a salawat, please. In this line that we read, Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tahbisu ad-du'a, besides the istighfar, it tells us about some of the dhunub, some of the sins, the effect of some of the sins. It doesn't tell us which sins. Doesn't tell us if it's backbiting or if it's looking at something that we're not supposed to or if it's saying something else that we're not supposed to other than backbiting. If it's not fulfilling an obligation towards a person or directly towards Allah, it doesn't tell us which one it is. And perhaps the reason is that it's not a specific one. It's not about that particular act. It's not about a particular form of disobedience. It's about dhanb itself. Disobedience. A disobedience can continue, God forbid, and my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that continued disobedience can come to a point where al-ayadu billah, as this line of dua says, Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tahbisu ad-du'a, it prevents my call, my dua, my request, my supplication from ascending, from reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has said, if you ask me, I will respond to you. If you call upon me, in fact, he told the Prophet, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعْ إِذَا دَعَانَ. If my slaves ask you, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, of me, then say to them, or it skips the idea of telling the Prophet to say to them, it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly responding to those people who are asking that question. إِنِّي قَرِيب, فَإِنِّي قَرِيب أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ. I will respond to the call of whomever asks, whoever calls upon me. This dua here says that the relationship of a person with Allah through disobedience can come to a point that the dua does not ascend, does not reach Allah. And therefore, the verse that says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ, whoever asks me, whoever calls upon me, whoever supplicates to me, I will respond. This supplication does not reach Allah for him to respond. That's what basically the dua tells us. We are in need. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. If He doesn't support us, if He doesn't assist us, if He doesn't provide us with what we need, how can we survive? Now imagine reaching a state where we see a certain need of ours, we have a need, and we know it's the only one that can fulfill that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We call upon Him and ask for it, and then He doesn't respond. How difficult a situation that would be. Perhaps the reason why we wouldn't feel as desperate when we're reading that and feel as desperate when we're reading that is that, as the Quran says, we have a problem of istighna. We feel needless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We feel we can take care of ourselves. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us we can't. He gives us an illness, like, deal with it. How can you? Try solving that problem. Gives you a problem. And then after a while, He takes it away. He tells us this is how He deals with people. In the Quran, He tells us to show us this. We've got to open our eyes. That's a reality. Now, when you feel that desperate, and you feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that can help us, and then you hear, according to this dua, that disobedience of Allah can bring me to a state that I can ask Allah all I want. Those supplications are not going to reach Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not allow us to reach a state where our du'as are not heard. I don't know what a person can do if they're in that state. Because istighfar itself is a dua. If the dua is not reaching Allah, how can I even repent? Recite the salawat, please. Allahumma ghafir liya dhunuba allati tahbisu ad-du'a. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this point. Let me remind us of this verse of the Quran too, to see what we're asking. Prophet Yusuf says to Allah, or rather he says to people about Allah and his relationship with Allah, after the sin he was accused of, it became evident that he was not guilty of the sin as they supposed. He says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I didn't commit this sin, but I'm not saying that I am not someone that's capable of committing sin. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. The nafs, the self, is constantly calling towards and commanding, pushing me towards sin. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Except for what God has been merciful towards me that I've been able to avoid. We can't avoid sin without His assistance either. So we're asking, Ya Allah, don't, please, do not allow us to at least reach a point where tahbisu du'a occurs with our relationship, with our disobedience of You. But beyond that, we beg you, there's another dua. These are all beautiful supplications that we have, that we're supposed to think about them and want them. إِلَهِ لَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ أَبَدًا. O Allah, do not leave me to myself, even for a second. The blink of an eye, even that long. If I'm left to myself, that split second can be a split second that I go astray. We're in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting us of sins, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that He hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Min Nabiya wa Aliha rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat. Salam.